Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Felitha Williams, and I'm your faith-based nurse, and we're in the trenches again, talking about health and wellness. And just my hope and prayer that everybody has remained safe, healthy, and doing well. Just want you to be aware that the flu, we focus so much on the flu, but want you to be aware that the crisis now is not the flu, I mean, not the COVID, but it's the flu. And we're seeing a lot of people, including healthcare workers, out or hospitalized. So we want you to be diligent in taking care of yourself. And this is what we're trying to get everybody to focus on is start taking care of yourself and be prepared for what will be coming up. So tonight we had talked about caregiving, and there was a question that was raised regarding men caregivers, okay? What basically is the difference? You know, what problems do men face that typically would be inherent to women? So I did a lot of research, and when it came down to it, there are only a few things that are different between men and women caregiving, and we'll get into that, but the overall difference is the way that they provide the care and the way they handle the emotional, their emotional issues while doing the care. But a lot of the same problems that women face, men face, women just do a better job in terms of expressing, finding solutions, and using support systems. So I wanted to find out a little bit what is the data supporting men providing care. And believe it or not, it has been on the increase, and the reason being is that sometimes this is men have no alternative. One of the things that was brought out is during COVID, depending on the job, a lot of times the women were going to work and the men were working from home. They had that type of job, and so they became the caregivers. And this was in reference to children or even elderly caregiving. So one of the things I want to find out is I wanted some data. And one of the things when I went and looked at data, it told me like 23.3% of adults report providing a care or assistance for a friend or a family member in the past 30 days. And when you break that down, that percentage, it shows that 25.4% or one out of every four women were caregivers compared to one out of five were men. The percentage was lower, it was 18.9, but I was very surprised because the data does not give you a vast difference between women caregivers and men caregivers. 1 out of 4 is women. 1 out of 5 is men. So it's not in terms of percentage. It's not really a vast difference in men providing providing care. One other aspect, and we'll get into this a little bit more, when they did caregivers that when reporting their health issues, and one of the major ones, because of the stress of the job, they surveyed caregivers regarding coronary heart disease and or stroke. They found that 17.6% of men caregivers 45 years of age and older reported coronary heart disease and or stroke, compared to 11.8% of women. So your heart disease was more, or strokes was more prevalent in men than it was in women caregiver. And that is understandable because of the, how men provide care. My next thing was to find out, okay, like I said, it doesn't matter whether you are male or female. Caregiving is a lot of responsibility. It takes toll on the individual providing the care, whether it is a family member that has chronic illness, like Alzheimer's or dementia, even your CHF, which is congestive heart failure, and your COPD is. They require a lot of, especially when they get towards the latter stages, they require a lot of work. And when you look at the statistics, it said that most male caregivers care for senior female, usually it's their mother or their spouse. So the vast majority of your male caregivers are taking care of either their mother or their spouse. Now, I have seen it both ways. I had a young man who provided 24-hour care for his mom, who was bedridden, except the only way that she was up is like to transfer her from the bed to a wheelchair, okay? She had breathing issues. We had sent home health in, and we sent physical therapy, trying to get her at least a little bit more mobile than she was, basically to avoid more muscle atrophy, and that's where the muscles kind of lose their ability to function. And he took very, very good care of her. He did have home health aid in there, but we didn't provide it, I think, like 3 days a week. All the rest of the time, he did all her bathing and dressing and cooking and cleaning. And the job was excellent. She had no skin breakdown. Skin was perfect. And he did that up until she died. I never heard a word of complaint. Never expressed burnout. When you talk to him, it was like, this is what I have to do. I'm an only child. And so he did very well with that. Never discussed or with us, or even because we had to assess the mental part of him. never anything negative about his lack of social life. He did have a backup every now and then so he could get out, do some things, but he never once complained. And that was the first time I'd ever seen, I think that's the first, yeah, that's the first time, and I don't think I've seen it since, where a male took care of his mom. But from what the statistics show, that's exactly what happens. But that was my first time seeing that. On the flip side of that, I had a male taking care of his dad. Excellent care. Excellent care. That I could see more readily because it's male to male. But it was just very interesting in the statistics that primarily when you see a male caregiver, it is usually the spouse or the mother. So then I want to find out, what is the difference between male caregivers and female caregivers? And while everything is pretty standard, no matter how you talk about it across the country, there are some differences of how men and women provide care for others. This is just a few examples, but one of the things is that men tend to be a little bit more uncomfortable with hands-on personal care, okay? That can be challenging for any caregiver, but we see that more in men. And when we're talking about hands-on personal care is making sure they bathe, they have a bath, for those that have issues with incontinence or bladder or bowel, which basically is saying they can't always get to the bathroom on time, or they don't have the frame of mind to realize that I need to go to the bathroom, and so they may soil their clothes, or even some who have a may not be bedridden, but can be bedridden, or can be just have loss of control of bowel and bladder and have to wear diapers or pull up. And so men are not very comfortable with that. Now, you know women are because we change baby diapers. And very few men get involved in that. They don't mind doing the other part, the feeding, you know. And but they're just not very good with hands-on personal care. The other thing is female caregivers may be more open about their feeling of stress caused by their responsibilities as a caregiver, whereas men are more reluctant to open up about their feelings of depression or stress or exhaustion or any other issues that result in them not really getting the emotional support that they need. So they tend to keep things bottled up inside. That is where you get the correlation between the higher increase of coronary artery disease, which can include heart attacks and stroke, because it's bottled up inside, okay? And it manifests itself in a physical way. The one good thing they did say that male caregivers are often more physically strong when compared to their female caregivers, which makes doing a task easier for them when they're caring for family members, older family members. They typically are able, with minimal equipment, to transfer, change positions and things like that more easily because of their strength. Whereas women, you're going to see that they may need the use of a trapeze bar. They may need a Hoya lift. They may need the assistance of someone else when you're dealing with moving and transferring and lifting, things like that. And I can attest to that because in doing home health, this family was taking care of this lady, the lady's mother, and when I would go out, everybody would disappear. So the lady was about 300 pounds. She was not mobile, but she could transfer, but she could not provide a lot of assistance. And so I had to figure out, once I finished with what I was doing, how to get her out of the bed to do the things that I needed to do. And it's very taxing. And you have to know how to use good body mechanics. So when you look at what is going on, you can see that basically they have men and women experience the same thing. The big issue that I see with men caregivers is if they have to do personal care, it's very difficult for them. It's something that they will have to really work on. And the other thing is the emotional support. We know that all caregivers need emotional support. They do need someone or some kind of support system because they were having to mix up, you know, caregiving, and some of them, men, are even working. But the big thing with men facing caregiver burdens, they have a weak support network, and they're less likely to seek out programs which can increase their caregiving capabilities and help them to cope with the burden they have of caring for that loved one. Women are more vocal. Sometimes that speaking out can be a little inappropriate in where it's delivered. You have to be careful that your frustrations do not reach the ear of the person that you're caring for. I tell people all the time, I don't care if they have dementia, I don't care if they have Alzheimer's, we have no idea how much that brain is retaining. So you have, when there is frustration, when you're feeling challenged or overwhelmed, you have to be careful, men and women, of how you lash out around the person you're caring for. So basically, there wasn't a whole lot of information. Now, one thing that I did find out in doing the research is that with men being caregivers, it does allow them to bond more with family. And that was one of the perks of being a caregiver when you're a male. Because a lot of times, if you think about it, men are the breadwinners, although women work, but primarily men are the breadwinners. They do the outside housework, and you know, things that are remote from caregiving, and this gives them the chance to see caregiving from a different perspective. The other thing it gives them, if they have to switch up the roles, because that's what is happening in families now, sometimes the role has to be switched where the male will have to do the caregiving while the spouse goes out to a job. And so it gives him a chance to see the burden of caregiving and be more proactive, even if they're not the direct caregivers, in making sure things are more comfortable for the spouse, the family, or whoever is doing the caregiving. What we saw, they did a study, and the study they did was from the National Study of Caregiving. They used their database and did a hierarchy of issues, and when they studied the emotional, financial, and physical burden of male caregivers as spouses and sons, and other caregivers by looking at the impact based on their characteristics, their tasks, their resources. So what they were seeing with the male, there may be a little bit more frustration, emotional frustration, financial, and a physical burden than you would see with females. Females just typically are nurturers. It's just the part of them that is inherent. That is not inherent in a man, and that does not make him, less. It's just not one. They're not nurturers. Cause women are nurturers. They carry children, and they're more of a nurturer. Men are getting, according to statistics, they're getting better with that. They're learning to be more of a nurturer. But, that's something that has to be worked on because that's not something that they're born with, but it's not anything that they cannot acquire. When I looked at the study by AARP, their statistics show, and it's probably more of an updated statistics than the CDC, they show that male caregivers now make up 40% of all caregiving. That basically the only, which I've, talked to you about, is they make up about 40%, but basically the big difference is their approach to caregiving and not necessarily that they are increasingly, becoming caregivers. Now, one thing that we are finding out that males are going to be more crucial in the role of caregiving. And this is a study done by the Alzheimer's Association, because two-thirds of all individuals that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's are women. So male is going to, they're going to be, they're going to be, it's going to be crucial that they approach caregiving in a different mindset, because they're going to be increasingly more the caregivers, unless they pass it on to the children, if they have any, or other family members, because women have a higher dose, higher percentage of diagnostic of Alzheimer's. So that means that male caregivers will continue to rise as a result when women are no longer able to provide care. It's just that mainly everything I read is that men have really got to handle the emotional part. I think with the personal care, I think that can be overcome, or it can be supplemented. There are a lot of resources. The thing of it is that they still have to deal with that, because the resources that are there are typically not 24/7. Now, the only way to obtain 24/7, and I do have some clients that do this, is that you pay for that. I have a friend of mine who actually, she used to work for me, and she's opened up her own business, and this is what she does. She provides home in care for families that need assistance, whether it's needed 24/7 or whether it's just needed certain times of the day, which with a man that will certainly alleviate some of the duties and lessen the time that you have to perform those tasks that are difficult for men to do. I did have one man, he worked for the Anniston Army Depot here, and he had somebody that would stay with his wife during the day. And so the only time he had to perform any of these tasks was like in the evening and on the weekend. And so that gave him a little bit of break. It got him acclimated to the things that he needed to do. It also provided a emotional distance from what he was having to do at home. Sometimes that's not feasible. Sometimes this is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. I had a veteran, he is in his 90s, and of course he has health issues of his own, but he took care of his wife until finally, because she had Alzheimer's, and they were finally able to get her into a memory center, but she didn't stay there long before she passed away. But he had the sole responsibility of taking care of her. But he had two children, and they were minimally involved. So what we did to accommodate him is whenever he could come in for a visit, whenever he could leave his wife for a small length of time, we would see him. And that way, if he came in, he said, oh, I only got X amount of minutes and I got to get back to my wife, we accommodated that. And so that's a big thing with men that are taking care of their spouses, that a lot of times we need to, not that women don't need it, but with men we need to be more accommodating, because they've got to get their feet, I say get their feet wet. The other study showed that men tend not to, and we've talked about that, they tend not to like to do hands-on. They like to do other duties that don't require hands-on. They don't mind transportation, taking them to the doctor, managing the bills, house maintenance, things like that. And so because they don't like that hands-on personal care, they're more likely than women to seek out personal care providers for assistance with anything that requires intimate care, okay? I was trying to think of anything else. I think basically that was it. The one thing that I left from reading all of these different, and I went to different websites to get, like, I went to Elder Tree, CDC, and, of course, got some information from AARP. So the big takeaway is more or less the hands-on. But for me, what I saw was the primary issue with men is the necessary emotional support, because they're not going to reach out for it. And that's why they're at a high risk for coronary disease and strokes, the stress, the burnout. They're more prone to that because they will not reach out for support. It doesn't have to be professional support. It could be a friend, you know, or another family member. Men just don't reach out for that, and that really does become an issue with them. So, for male caregiving, that's basically that's the biggest difference is that they've got to reach out. They've got to be more verbal when they're feeling overwhelmed, the stress. They've got to be more verbal when they need help, and not only verbalize it, but seek assistance to help them with that. They do have to learn how to provide intimate care, but if that's something that they're just not able to do, then what they need to do is to seek out someone to help them with that. And even if it's not 24/7, just maybe someone come in to give a really good bath, get them dressed, and then maybe they can handle the rest of it from there, where it's just minimal changing, you know. But men have to reach out, and that's the biggest thing that statistics bear with men caregivers is their inability to deal with the emotional side of caring for a spouse or a family member or even a friend. That's it for me. If you have questions, comments, this is the time.
Yeah, I took plenty of notes, and the one that really struck me is the stress and the emotional response.
Right.
We respond to things differently because, as you stated earlier, men are the providers.
Mm-hmm.
And now the role has switched.
Right.
You got to. And that produces a lot of stress.
Huh?
Stress and communication. You didn't hit on that. Well, you hit on it when you said weak support network.
When you don't, men don't really seek out emotional support. They don't talk. Yeah. That was one of the things. That was in my emotional support. You've got to reach out for emotional support. You've got to have that network where when you're feeling stressed, you're feeling overwhelmed, that you can talk to somebody. When you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, and it's not that women don't, but women are going to reach out. But when you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, if you bottle that up inside of you, that's where men get into trouble with coronary artery disease and stroke, because that stress is actually, that emotional stress is putting physical stress on their heart. And so that's why I said you have to reach out. You have to have a support system. And the thing of it is that a lot of times we don't, I'm talking about as a society, because most of our care now is for our older family members or friends. And a lot of time we have adult children. There is nothing wrong with reaching out to your adult children and saying, look, this is what's going on, you know, even getting them to buy into doing some things that will relieve your responsibility. I've always said, even when talking about women, you have the major responsibility of caring for the that family member, friend, then why can't somebody do the cooking? Why can't somebody do the shopping? Why can't somebody do the laundry? Having less to do can release some of that stress, but you got to reach out to somebody and say, listen, I'm overwhelmed. Now, men are not going to do that. I can tell you that right now.
That's true.
They'll reach out when it comes to them. But when it comes to a emotional need based on their job within the home of caring for someone, they won't. And I've had that experience, and I've made them go. You can go. You don't have to go in that second time, but you will talk to somebody in mental health. They just don't verbalize that. So you've got to communicate that. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I bet your woman would.
True. The other thing is when you are in your 70s, there's not a whole lot of men around for you to sit down and have a conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
And the stigma that's associated with sitting down with members of the opposite sex and sharing with them, that the tongue start wagging. And where I've gotten to the point where I couldn't care less. I mean, it is until people walk in my shoes, they need to shut up. And what happened was I was judgmental on other cases, and now I understand the need, the absolute need to be able to communicate. And sometimes it happened that need got out of control, if you want to call it that, but I'm not saying it got out of control. There was this friend of mine whose uncle, well, it was her aunt, and her aunt, and how close we were, her aunt and my uncle, they dated, but then she just like they didn't get married, so she married someone else, but she got Alzheimer's, and she passed, and within a year, the husband had remarried. And everybody was getting all bent out of shape. And they, who did he marry was the person that was helping them. And, you know, you sit there and you be a little judgmental. But like I said, until you walk walk in those shoes, you need to shut up. And because I look at it now, if that person hadn't been there, I didn't realize that the statistics were so high in terms of stroke and heart attack, coronary problem. That's probably what happened to him.
Yeah, because men have to. This is just the makeup of men. Men do not easily adjust their lifestyle when they have to be a caregiver, especially for a spouse. Women can. They can their personal lifestyle, their emotional lifestyle. They readjust more easily. Men don't. But the thing of it is, regardless, you have to reach out to somebody. And I suggest that they're, even if they're not men, that are still, and I understand what you're saying, but you still need to reach out, and it's not bad to at least have more than one person as a support system, whether it's all female or mixed or male and female. But that's why I said sometimes if you've got older children and they are mature enough, because I'm somewhere now I read that, they can be some support, emotional support, if no more than listen, I'm taking care of your mama, or I'm taking care of your auntie, or, and I'm a little tired. I need to get out, and I need to do this. And whether you do it or not, at least you're verbalizing. The thing of it is, I was at work one day, and I was just sitting at the coffee machine, and I was saying something. And they said, do you realize you're talking to yourself? And I said, yep. I said, the psych nurse told me I could talk to myself because I problem solve. The issue comes when you talk to somebody and they're not sitting there. Okay? So sometimes just the talking, even if that adult child is not, they're listening, but they're not listening, you hear what you're saying, problem solve. It helps you to problem solve. And I always thought when you talk to yourself, you were leaning towards the mental health issue. And he told me no. He said that is not. And I have found that to be true. That sometimes when I'm facing a dilemma, I'll talk it out loud. And what's happened is it's reverberating back into my ear, and then the brain is processing it and helping you to solve your problem. So, like I said, even sometimes kids don't, you're not kids, some adult kids are, they don't listen, but you'll verbalize it to them. You're getting it out. That is the whole concept. Get it out. You may be able to solve the issue yourself, but you can't bottle it in, and that's what happened to men. They bottle it in.
Yes, absolutely true.
Yeah. So you can't
I hate to appear to be monopolizing, but the thing is, I went to a couple of support groups, and I found that those support groups were not giving me the type of support that I needed because their issues were different.
Right.
And that's why
But you should have... Now, this is what I suggest, and I went to a caregiver summit one time. They should have more than one support group in there. Then within the city. The other thing is that when you go to a support group, whoever is in charge, the facilitator of that support group, okay, what I tell people to do is if what you got from that support group was not what you needed, talk to the facilitator. She can put you in touch with somebody that is having the same issues as you're having and can help you through that.
Okay.
So we've had, I didn't know that until I went to that workshop. So sometimes every group is not for that particular person, but it's almost like AA meetings where you have a buddy. You all go to the meetings, but you have somebody who supports you individually.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You just have to ask the facilitator, you know, because are there any other support groups or any other support people? This is basically. And you can just generalize your need, and it's not really being fulfilled in this group. Can you help me? Fine. Because the lady from the state told me there are support groups that can help everybody. But, you know, you got to speak out. So you didn't get anything from that support group, but I bet you didn't say anything either. You just left unfulfilled.
Yeah, I left too.
Yeah, but see, a woman wouldn't do that. She'd go up to her and say, look, this is my need, and I didn't get it here. Do you have any place else?
Yeah. My last question or statement, whenever you or a member of the clergy, and that is, how am I putting it? You're a member of the clergy, you're a clergy, and you're going through this. And the first thing people are doing is looking for excuses or looking for that log in that person's eye, looking for a log in that person's eye. And they're being judgmental as opposed to sitting down and having a conversation and allowing people to talk through what it is that they're going through.
Yeah. And that, I know what you're saying, and that's, as a clergy, you have to be careful you talk to, but clergy need support too. That is one thing that I have found, even with our organization, okay? They have, if a clergy needs support, regardless, and we've had men that have had to take care of their wives as their pastors and had to take care of their wives, and then we've had wives that have to take care of their husband and end up losing them. Somebody is placed there as their support from the clergy. This is me, okay? Paul said, now this is me talking. If you are a member of the clergy and you need support, and that other clergy sees something different and does not address that need according to the Bible, then I have to question their clergy. I have to question their ministry, because the Bible tells us, he that is weak, he that's strong, bear the weaker brother. So I question your ministry, because the Bible teaches us that we're help one to another, and so we shouldn't be like that, because we all have times that we need that support, and we're supposed to be there to support them and not judge them.
Yeah, one of the things that I found is that black clergy, black clergy don't join support groups, don't form support groups. My experience has been the support groups that I've been a part of before moving to North Carolina were all white, and those groups, people understood, people met you as your point of need, and they provided the support that you needed. Whereas I tried to form a couple, even since I've been in North Carolina, and people, they don't feel they need anything. They're so godly and so spiritually filled until they don't have any earthly problems.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, but that's not Bible. When our pastor died, when our bishop died, and his son assumed, well, first of all, while he was sick, well, he had already been transitioned into that role as the new pastor, okay, before he got really sick. But he had to do the work of the pastor, and then he had to take care of his dad, and he had to be there for his mom, okay? What our overseer did is he would send different ministers down to give him a break from preaching. So that all he had to focus on was taking care of his dad. When he as well as running the church, but he didn't have to do all of the preaching. When his dad died, then what he did is sent his seasoned minister to help guide him through the transition. And he would talk to him by phone, but he also sent people to help guide him through the transition. That's what you, when people have emotional problems, it's the same way. It should be the same way. If you're having to take care of a loved one and then you're having to deal with a lot of issues with the loved one and you get overwhelmed, there should be somebody spiritual enough to be that support, okay, without judging. Because we're not supposed to judge anyway. Because the Bible says the same judgment that you judge, you judge somebody else, you're going to be judged with that. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But you still got, regardless, you still got to do it because you won't survive as a caregiver, as a male caregiver, if you don't reach out. You got to reach out. You got to communicate. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Gonna end it for me tonight. I made it without coughing.
Well, thank you. But that was Spirit knew that the conversation, the discussion was needed.
Yeah. Oh, I did good. All right, well, you all have a good evening. We'll talk again.
All righty.
All right. Night.
Good night.